You're listening to the Apple Insider Podcast.
Welcome back to the Apple Insider Podcast, a very special edition because we've just had the September 12th event. And I'm Victor. Joining me is, I don't know why he swallowed a fly, William Gallagher.
Okay, this is getting, yeah, your search for descriptions of me is getting more obscure, but hello, I'm trying to work out how excited I am, and I think on the scale of Jeff Williams to Phil Schiller, I'm about Tim Cook excited at the moment. What about you?
I think that requires a lot of explaining, but Tim Cook was quite excited.
He was. Phil Schiller was just practically giddy at times. I'm thinking of poor Jeff Williams, who I think actually has a cold or something, because he seemed a bit down compared to the rest of them. But that, and it was good. I'm this excited, because didn't we know everything before, pretty much?
Not exactly. Nope. But what I would like to say is, you know, I went with the old lady who swallowed the fly joke at the beginning, because partly you have flies going around in your house, and that's kind of a problem and disgusting. But beyond that, it sort of spoke to me because Apple put the Hokey Pokey in their video for the Apple Watch.
Oh, okay.
Did you notice that?
I did, but forgive me. I'm urgently needing to say to you, there's only one fly in the house. It's only just gone past me that second. Okay. It's not an infestation. It's just an excitable fly. But yes, I did notice that. Amongst many things,
so he claims.
Actually, I was
quite
surprised how much I got into the gaming stuff. Actually, later, I mean, the graphics and all this stuff. I'm not a gamer.
All right. We ought to take this some kind of order, shouldn't we?
Yes.
Okay. One of the things that I remember you speaking about a couple of days ago and being quite excited about was the idea of an Apple Watch.
Yes, I love my existing one, but
well, now that your existing one is old and terrible,
yes,
because there's a brand shiny new one.
Yeah.
We should talk about the brand shiny new one. First of all, the brand shiny new one, it's thinner.
Only just, though. I mean, I don't know the figures for it, but it doesn't look a gigantic degree of slimmerness. And I think you can tell that because Apple didn't do... I remember when the iMac suddenly shrank, they did side profiles just to show it off. And here, they quite carefully didn't. I don't think we ever quite saw a side view of the new phone. It is slimmer. But not so much.
They did show a side view of the Apple Watch. But the thing to think about it is that when it's worn on your wrist, every half millimeter makes a difference.
That's a good point. Yes. Okay. I think I like the dimensions in other directions more, though. The fact that it's a slightly bigger face. I did think watching the videos there, when they showed people wearing it, with a few people, it actually seemed too big for their wrists. But I have, you know, quite chunky wrists, and it made me think my current one is too small, which is, I'm sure, what it was meant to do. Yes.
I think we have to take a moment and remember the ceramic edition.
Oh, yes.
The Apple Watch edition, the ceramic one model, because that has been dropped from the lineup. The current lineup for Series 4 consists of aluminum, or aluminium, if you will. I will make some concessions to you, my friend.
Yes. So, aluminium and
stainless steel.
I've actually just written an obituary, really, for the ceramic version of the Apple Watch. I never had one myself. I always went for the aluminium ones, and actually, I've never had a scratch on it. But so many friends have just slightly scuffed up their watches, except for the ones that have got the ceramic ones, and they are so blissfully happy with it. I share their loss at it being just so quietly dispensed with.
Well, listen, Apple needs to go ahead and replace these things from time to time, but originally there was some thought that they would go ahead and grow ceramic across the whole product line.
Well, in a way, they have. They've got a ceramic back now on everything. I mean, I know it's hardly the same, but at least some of the gorgeous benefits of ceramic are now in every available watch.
Yeah, true. But there was also at one point a thought that they would go ahead and move that over to the phones as well, which they have not. The phones are glass. But interestingly, on the new phones, the glass has the same color as the rest of the aluminum body. They've done a really nice job of making that finish consistent all the way across.
I hadn't noticed that, actually. And that's now you've said it. That's obvious. That's rather impressive. I mean, you one imagines that the finish is the least difficult part, but you remember the problems with the, was it the iPhone 4, the white one that came out, and I think it took almost a year before they actually got it working or something. So the care of materials, they know their materials, these Apple people do.
And they keep trying to push the limits on them. So the watch has ceramic and sapphire on the back. The back is completely redesigned. And part of the reason it's redesigned is because they've put better heart rate sensors inside. They've put electrodes inside. What can you do with fancy electrodes, specifically with regard to the Apple Watch? Because I know you can do all kinds of other things with electrodes, William.
But me personally, but yes, I can.
Keep your hobbies
thank
out
you.
Of it.
I was afraid something was going to come out there. What they do is what I've long dreamed of, which is having an ECG on my wrist, electroencephalograph, just available at the touch of a button. And honestly,
Well, now, that's interesting because you said ECG and then you gave the description for EEG.
Oops. Okay. Well, yeah, this is why I'm not in charge of
that. I think you mean electrocardiogram, well, don't you? Don't you mean electrocardiogram?
I do. A little bit there.
Okay.
You could have let it go. So factual reporting. Harriet.
The ECG does all kinds of cool things, including allowing you – so you put your thumb down on the new digital crown for about 30 seconds – and it takes the measurements and gives you a report in the form of a PDF that you can share with your doctor that is every bit as good as the ECG that you'll get in a clinic.
Isn't it just sometimes an incredible world we're in? I seem to be thinking this a lot recently, particularly with Apple Watch facilities. Just sometimes I take my watch for granted so often, and then you know all the things it's doing. You know, in a bad and crazy world, there are some amazing things, and Apple Watch is one of them. This is one of them.
It is. And, you know, one of the key points that Dr. Ivor Benjamin, who's of the American Heart Association, who's on stage, said is that patients frequently report symptoms, but they're no longer experiencing those symptoms. So it's impossible for the doctor to actually understand what's going on. But the watch, being able to do the ECG, gives the doctor the ability to have insight into that moment when the symptoms were being felt. I think that's a huge leap forward. That really is a meaningful thing. I also am a big fan of the atrial fibrillation detection. I'm a big fan of the low heart rate detection, not just the high heart rate detection. We've seen high heart rate in Apple Watch for a few years now, where it says, you know, you're experiencing high heart rate, go seek medical attention. Low heart rate is every bit as important. Well, I don't know about every bit, but it's absolutely important because with a low heart rate, your blood pressure drops and you pass out.
I think that's obvious, but it never occurred to me until actually the Apple announcement. And now, obviously, I'm concerned about it. I think this isn't quite as elaborate as those, but a thing that really leapt out at me was the fall detection. I mean, I have an elderly mother. She had recently had a fall, but also my wife's been involved in health and safety in the UK, and a consistent recurring thing is what they call slips, trips and falls, mostly around your heavy machinery. So pretty serious falls. But the idea that this can detect you and do something about it, can warn somebody, can send a message. I can understand how it works, but I'm still really impressed that they thought of it and they did it.
The notion – so first of all, it works with the cellular version because you have to it's going to place the emergency call to your contacts if you have fallen and haven't responded in a minute's time. Right? It presumes that you fell and hit your head and passed out and will call emergency services and send your location to your emergency contacts. So are you going to go ahead and get the
cellular
version?
Well, the thing is, I haven't been able to get onto an iPhone yet. I've got her on an iPad, so I'm inching towards there. I think she might go for more old-fashioned technology, you know, alarms, which you have to be conscious to press, but at least are there. Yeah, interesting. What I was going off on that line was just thinking of that, of course, it needs cellular, and that is actually a really compelling reason to have cellular. And most of the time so far, I haven't felt the need for it. The convenience, the handiness. I mean, we got cellular on the watch last year, and I've spoken to a couple of people since because I've noticed the big red dot, and I've asked them how much they use cellular. One of them gave me all of the benefits of the Apple Watch except cellular. He clearly didn't know what it was, even though he had chosen to buy it extra. And the other one said she uses it all the time and absolutely loves it. And she was terribly convincing about how useful it was. I'm just, how much would I use it? And it's quite a substantial amount more. So, yeah, I don't.
My daughter bought herself the Apple Watch without cellular. I left the house this morning going out for hurricane preparedness because Hurricane Florence is bearing down directly on my backyard. And I went out shopping, and in my hurry to go out and try and seek out D-cell batteries to run flashlights and things like this, I left my phone at home.
Actually, since I had my Apple Watch, I have left my phone at home 5 or 6 times now, which I remember it's that many because it was impossible before. From 2007 to 2015, my watch, if it wasn't in my hand, it was in my pocket. And then because of the watch, I did work out, but my watch isn't cellular, so I was already getting that benefit. And then obviously very disappointed when I tried to do anything. But yes, yeah. So did you go cellular, or are you planning to go cellular at some point?
I do not currently have an Apple Watch. My last Apple Watch was the Series 0, the very first watch. And I sold them in advance of the Series 2 being released and have not repurchased since. And I'm thinking, gosh, this is getting close to the time where I really have to.
I had a Series 0 for the longest time, and I liked it very much. I didn't love it, but I liked it immensely. And then it actually broke in some weird, peculiar way, and Apple replaced it, which was very nice. But they replaced it with the Series 1, and it was even that difference. It was so much faster. That's when I started to love it.
Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting. We should talk about iPhones.
Oh, yes. And there's so many of them.
Well, so first of all, if you purchased the iPhone 10 or the 6S or the 6S Plus or the SE, those phones are no longer available. Those phones have now been removed from the product line. Now, they're still going to be supported because that's one of the things that Apple made a big point of, having Lisa Jackson out on stage talking about their responsibility to environmentally consciousness. And one of the things that is environmentally conscious is keeping older phones in service longer. And so everything from a 5S forward remains supported in iOS 12. If you have one of those phones, don't worry. Just update your phone to the newest software when it comes. And iOS 12, as we've talked about before, is a nice speed improvement. But if you bought a 6S yesterday, you're in great shape because you got a 14-day return policy and you can go ahead and flip it around.
Absolutely. I was not expecting you to go that way.
New
That's
models.
Great. But if you bought it 15 days ago, yeah.
I out of luck. No, I was talking with – well, not entirely out of luck, because they also have a program where you can return it back and they will refurb it and reissue it to some – resell it to someone else who can use the phone, but which is another part of their environmental responsibility. But and they'll give you some credit for that. So you do have options. And in fact, I might try doing that with my iPhone 6. That's an interesting concept. But the The three new phones.
I wasn't
are really
expecting
the stars
all three to be the stars. I thought the replacement for the iPhone 8 would just be, you know, the low end entry model. And I was excited to know about the new iPhone 10 variants. I just didn't think it was going to be one of them. And I'm really quite taken with the iPhone 10R. Funny, hard to get used to that name. Yes, iPhone 10R. I'm really rather impressed.
The iPhone 7. And their image that they showed shows the Plus models as well. So 7 and 7 Plus are still going to be offered for sale, which is interesting to me because in the past, I would have thought the Plus models would have kind of gone away because they'd move you to the large model of the new one. That's something they would have done years ago. But here, 7, 7 Plus, starting at $449. The iPhone 8 remains for sale from $599 with 8 and 8 Plus. The 10R is $749, and it's the full iPhone 10 experience. And they even gave it the single view camera, but the single view camera has portrait mode capabilities and depth mapping, which is pretty impressive. And then there's the 10S from $999.
Gotta stop you there. Oh, my chance to stop you. Sorry, the 10
10X
no, the iPhone
Max,
10 Max,
which
10S Max. Not you said X in there somewhere, and I
10S Max. Well, so here's the thing. Is anyone? Do we think people are going to pronounce this thing the way Phil Schiller pronounces
it? Well, people don't say Windows 10P, even though in England I always thought that's what that was worth. That only works if you know that 10P is 10 pence. But, you know, it used to bother me when people said iPhone X. Now that it's XS or 10S, I think the fact that XS is a word, it just makes me more likely to say it as a letter. But, you know, people are just going to say the iPhone, aren't they? And the big one would imagine.
Yeah.
So
the big one starts from $1,099. Now, last year at this time, we were talking about the nerve to raise the price to 1,000.
Yes.
So be it. And that's for the 64 gig models. These are all the prices for the lowest storage capacity. That's where it says starts from.
Yes. I'd love to know the figures for what people went for. One imagines if you're going to spend the money on a bigger screen, you will be expecting to do more and to hold more. So you will naturally gravitate to the greater capacity models. But I mean, it's an expensive job going up to the next levels. I mean, I don't actually know what the iPhone XS Max 512 gigabyte version will be, but I imagine shockingly expensive. Okay, so right. Bargain.
Presume that things go up in $100 increments more or less.
Okay.
Mm. Right? There are three models, 64, 256, 512. 1,099, 1,199, 1,299 is plausible. Is it accurate? No, but let's see.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Pre-orders starting in what, a week, more or less?
Pretty much, yes. And then delivery is not very far afterwards. I was curious to know how close they would be, but yeah. I'm also now curious to think about the iPhone upgrade program, whether or not now is a good time to get on board with that, but we'll see.
Interestingly, remember that Apple used to bundle the 3.5 millimeter headphone adapter, the lightning to headphone adapter,
yes,
with all the phones? No longer doing that.
Yeah, it's not a big shock though, is it? It was definitely an off-ramp to kind of ease people away. And
it was a transitional move, and that transition has taken place as far as they're concerned.
Yes. So hopefully as far as anybody buying it is concerned is as well. Yes. I'm not even really remote intellectually, I think, but I so love and adore my AirPods and have done for many years. I could really care less about headphone jacks, but I get that I'm in a minority there.
Well, I don't know that you are. I see a lot of AirPods around, just people wearing them all over the place. So I suspect they don't think they have a problem. And they would know. They have the sales numbers. Also, interestingly, the 5-watt USB-A power adapter is still shipping in these things. That's the little cube brick that we get in America. And in the UK, of course, you get this monstrosity. But over here, we get a nice little cute cube, and that's the 5-watt, that's the small power adapter. Of course, the phone works better if you use the 12-watt power adapter, or even better still, if you use the lightning to USB-C adapter and a USB-C power brick meant for charging a MacBook. But they chose not to ship those because, well, they're expensive.
It's funny, isn't it? There was all this talk about whether or not Lightning would go away and be completely replaced. And that would be, what, the second time Apple did it? And you know there'd be a storm about it. Whereas you look at Samsung and the number of times it's changed its ports and cable view, it's just preposterous. But they seem to get away with it. And yet I would understand, because the number of times I go to stay in hotels and they still have the 30-pin iPod adapter based in things. So, yeah.
Mm. We've talked about hotels in the past. Hotels buy for 5 years at a time, so they're going to be stuck on 30-pin.
So maybe they could skip straight from 30-pin to USB-C and be laughing about it. Yeah. No.
No. So here's why Apple doesn't give up on Lightning. First of all, Lightning does everything they want it to do at this time and is designed to do so for the foreseeable future, because there's a chip in every Lightning plug that tells the phone what it does, what its capabilities are, what it works with, what the inputs are. So because they've got that capability to use the chip to reassign things, they don't need to change anything there. The other thing is that it's a pretty robust plug. At this point, they know exactly what its failings are, and they're very few. It's really quite good. The other thing is that made for iPod, iPhone, iPad licensing, MFI program, is a big moneymaker for them. And they collect fees for every product that ships with a Lightning connector. So getting rid of that cash cow would be a real, real hit to them.
And there's no way they could replace it with some equivalent using the new... Sorry, I'm leading you down a line here. This is the future of cabling.
You can't... If you replace it with USB-C, then you give up those fat license fees. Now, of course, some people hold that against Apple. How dare they collect license fees? It's for the connector. Come on. Yeah. But it's been one of the things that saw them through the dark days into this period where they are flourishing. And it's something that they would be hard-pressed to give up, and then they'd have to go through a transition period again with all of the iDevices. It's something that isn't a thing that gives them any great benefit. It's not like there are a ton of USB-C peripherals they have to have, and it's not like it's stopping people from
making lightning peripherals. As they mentioned at this special event, that they're about to hit their 2 billionth iOS device. So that would be what iPads, iPod Touches as well, maybe, and things. But still, that's an awful lot of devices with an awful lot of connectors in them. Yeah, I think we'll be going to be with Lightning for a while yet. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting to me, so this is an interesting one for me personally. And the interesting one here is, you know, as they were introducing the iPhone XS and the XS Max, I said to my wife, that's my phone. They're talking about my new phone. Mm. Because clearly I need to get rid of this iPhone 6. And then they introduced the XR.
Yes, I recognize this.
And so,
same here.
You know, the question is, so for $749 versus $1,000 or $1,099, you get the same processor.
I think this is a much harder decision than last year. Last year, between the iPhone 10 and the iPhone 8, it was purely money. And I mean, purely money, as if that wasn't anything else. In this case, you're not just choosing the cheaper one on the basis that it's cheaper. You're choosing it on the basis that it's really, really good and cheaper. My logic is, I told you that I got my mom onto an iPad. She's on my iPad. I gave her my iPad Air. I have a large 12.9-inch iPad Pro I do all my work on, but you can't believe how handy it was with so many jobs I do to have that second iPad. So I've missed it. And part of me was thinking, well, if I go for the iPhone XS Max, maybe that would actually take the place of the iPad, at least a little bit. And that was me happily thinking, I'll find a way to get the money together. And then they came out with that, the iPhone XR. And that difference is huge.
So one of the differences is that the XR is water resistant to IP67, where the XS and XS Max are water resistant to IP68.
Is that one that makes the difference for me? I mean, I shouldn't joke.
Well, it's about meters and time submerged, basically. Right.
I did.
And 67 is what the iPhone 8 and the iPhone 10 and the iPhone 7 were all water resistant to. And it's good, but it's not the same as being able to dunk the thing for 30 minutes in orange juice or whatever the brand is.
I think I'm going to have to look at them, though, because it's going to be the screen that does it in the end. The fact that the iPhone XR has this, you know, bezel-less, rounded corners, full screen, all this gorgeous stuff, but it's not as good as the iPhone 10. I've seen iPhone 10s. I thought they looked brilliant. Will these be good enough? For that amount of money, probably
yes. Well, it's got all the same gestures and it's got all the same experience, so you should be all right. One of the things that's interesting about the A12 Bionic is the Neural Engine.
Yes.
So the Neural Engine was introduced with the iPhone 10, and it had two cores.
Yes, and now it's got...
You'd think they'd double it.
Yes.
They didn't double it. No, they didn't double it. They quadrupled it. It is now 8 cores. It's capable of 5 trillion neural operations a second. And this means the Neural Engine is doing real-time machine learning. And Core ML is up to 9 times faster, and it uses 1/10 the power.
Of course.
They've added more battery. They've added more cores and become more power efficient.
Yeah, I still think that maybe they were in the factory one day, they had all these cores lying around, needed to put them somewhere, thought this will do. That's probably how it went a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Did you ever see the movie Hidden Figures?
No, I've read the script, but I haven't seen the film.
Okay, I recommend you see the film. One of several of the shots show these chalkboards, blackboards, that are from the floor to ceiling in a large room, and the people on ladders writing on the chalkboards. The way that chips used to be designed is that you projected them floor to ceiling, light, you know, bigger than life on the wall, and then engineers would go and tape them and mark them up on the wall.
Wow.
And then they would go and shrink it down to the process size and make the chip. And of course, it's all done electronically now. But that was how things like the Motorola 6542 or the 8088 and 8086 were originally made. Big as life on the wall kind of thing, taping them up. And Now they've of course shrunk this down, but to be able to make 4 cores for the GPU, 6 cores for the CPU, and that's a GPU designed in-house at Apple, an 8-core neural engine, it's really a huge undertaking. And I like to put it in that perspective of, you know, the giant chalkboards and projections on the wall and taping on the wall to this point where we're doing this all digitally and making something this small, 7-nanometer process.
And doing it annually. I mean, obviously not 7 nanometers every year, but the progression for it. I had no idea about the projecting onto the wall. But now I'm wondering, what did they do at the end? Take a Polaroid of the wall and go back. But yeah, so times have moved on. But even so, as well as the advantages, there are greater pressures on time. I don't imagine when the 8086 was being done that they really had, you know, less than 12 months to do it in. Mind you, it's Intel. They always take longer than they're going to say anyway. So,
yeah. So, but speaking of things that are faster, the Face ID is even faster on the iPhone. They've got a faster secure enclave. What was interesting still with the XR is the cameras, both the front and the rear, were said to be the same. When they were talking about the TrueDepth camera, I was waiting to hear it, and Phil said it's the same TrueDepth camera. And I'm still questioning, is it the same as the iPhone X TrueDepth camera? But he seemed to indicate that it was the same TrueDepth camera that is used in the XS. And that would make sense because you'd want to have just the same manufacturing for as many parts as you can. But
yes, wow. Economy of scale, you understand. But still, product differentiation, it really does seem a much closer gap now. Except financially, it's a much closer gap between the different models of phone. Now, which in a way is great, but on the other hand, I think part of me secretly really wanted an excuse for an iPhone XS Max, and now I haven't got one, really. Give me time. I'll find a reason.
Well, you know, what I'm thinking is I have a friend who's got 128 gig iPhone 7 Plus, and maybe I can use this to get him to sell it to me for really cheap, and I'll just go ahead and have that.
Right.
Because that gets iOS 12. It's got a good camera. It's got portrait. It's got the...
That's funny, isn't it? I do remember I was working with a photographer at a literary festival, and he had the then new iPhone 7 Plus, and it seemed like this gorgeous machine. And now you look at it and you think, it seems so old compared to the 10 and the 10S and things. But you're right, in every possible way, it's a really good phone still. So, yes?
I'm just going to hold on and cherish that you're right in every possible way. That's going to warm the cockles of my heart all day. Okay. That's going to warm the sub-cockles of my heart all day.
Okay, let's not go any further than that, though, to the quarks and the mesons of your heart.
Well, yes.
Right. We seem to be getting into the stage where we're both really personally exploring our opportunities here, what we're going to buy. So
we need to do that again tomorrow. We're going to be back tomorrow with our thoughts about all of this. But the big news is, there are 3 new phone models. The iPhone XS will sell for $1,000 for 64 gig of storage, and the 256 gig model will retail for $1,149. The 512 gig option is $1,340. The iPhone XS Max will sell for $1,099 with 64 gig, $1,249 for 256 gig, and $1,449 for 512 gig. And pre-orders start on the 14th, that is in 2 days, and the first wave of devices are scheduled to arrive on September 21st. Govern yourselves accordingly. William, let's do it again tomorrow. You say?
Oh, absolutely. There's going to be some serious pondering between now and then. And I imagine there's actually we're going to get to a little bit more detail. You know how it always is after the event, the press details start coming out. We'll know more.
That's the well-spoken William Gallagher. I'm Victor Marks. Join us on Twitter at vmarks and at wgallagher. And please, please email william@appleinsider.com with all of your thoughts and criticisms. We'll be back tomorrow.